I'd like to call to order the regularly scheduled meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Nikas?
Here.
Ms. Reinchel?
Here.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Here.
Mr. Yensel?
Here.
Mr. Eisler and I are also here.
Please rise for the pledge of allegiance.
Do you have anybody to thank? No.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So now we'll go to Section B, Public Communication. We have two public communication sections. There's one now, there's one near the end of the board meeting. I know we have a couple people signed up. It's your choice if you'd like to speak now or we can wait till the end of the board meeting. I don't know who has signed up, but if you are, it's your choice.
The end is fine.
Okay, thank you. And I think there's somebody else, if that works for them as well. We'll go with that. All right, so now move to Section C, Student Recognition.
Mr. President, I am honored to be able to honor MPHS senior Gracie Stingel this evening. Gracie is here with us. She is our Rotary Club Student of the Month. And I would like to read a little bit about Gracie and the record that she has established during her time here at Madison Plains High School. So on behalf of the London Rotary Club, we are pleased to honor senior student Gracie Stingel as a Student of the Month from Madison Plains High School for the month of September. Students are selected by the MPHS administration based upon the following criteria: academic and extracurricular achievement and positive character. Gracie has a 4.2 grade point average, and she is currently ranked first in her class. Her favorite course is Animal and Plant Science, one of the agricultural education courses at MPHS. Gracie has been in FFA all 4 years of high school, earning her Green Hand and Chapter degrees. Additionally, during her junior year, she was awarded first place in Equine Science Placement for FFA. Gracie has also earned her varsity letter while being on the soccer team during her high school years. She is a 3-year member of Key Club, and she has been in the National Honor Society since her sophomore year. Outside of school, Gracie rides horses competitively in the National Reining Horse Association, or the NRHA, an activity in which she has participated for 8 years. The past 2 years, she has been reserve world champion in the 14-18 age division, among many other achievements. She was also selected as an NRHA youth delegate for 2 years in a row. When asked which Madison Plains staff member inspires her, Gracie said, "A school staff member who is an inspiration to me is Miss Niece, because she is a great person in every aspect. I'll start with her teaching skills. I do not know a teacher that better lays out the format of her class and the lesson plans. Even the toughest topics within her subjects can be mastered by the way she teaches. She is a teacher who truly teaches. She will help anyone who comes in to ask for help on a topic or even for questions, that do not pertain to a subject being taught in class. She knows how much support to give her students, not too much to allow them to do the thinking and learning, but enough to allow them to fully figure out the concept. The passion that she has for her kids, animals, and this world is a level that I seek to have. The selflessness that she has to teach her students and the dedication to do her job will really generate great people that will one day make a difference in our community and beyond." Regarding Gracie, Ms. Niece said, "Gracie is an exemplary student within the Madison Plains community. What inspires me most about Gracie is her capacity to advocate for herself as well as her relentless quest for knowledge. Gracie has a long list of positive attributes, but I believe these two qualities will bring her much success after graduating from MP. I look forward to hearing about all of her future accomplishments because I have no doubt she will have many. Cheers, Gracie. This honor is well deserved." After graduation, Gracie plans to attend the University of South Carolina, as she is verbally committed to riding on their equestrian team. There, she will earn her bachelor's degree in environmental science, minoring in both business and psychology. From there, she is considering transferring to get a master's degree. She would love for her future career to fulfill her craving to help the environment. Gracie is the daughter of Aaron and Nicole Stingel. And so we would just like to congratulate Gracie on an amazing career so far. Of course, it's not quite done. We are here at the beginning of her senior year. But what she has accomplished to date and her future plans really are remarkable. And so just congratulations to Gracie and well done. We look forward to hearing about more good things to come. So well done, Gracie.
Good job.
Section D, employee recognition.
And I believe Mr. Miller is going to present our staff member this month.
To recognize Ms. Shannon Christian this month for K-6 staff recognition. Myself and Mrs. Adamczak did write a little thing up for Shannon this evening that I'd like to read to the board. Let me put my glasses on first. It's that old age thing. Dear members of the board, it is an honor and a privilege to recognize Shannon Christian for our staff recognition at the K-6 building. Mrs. Christian has been with Massen Plains for 17 years, where she has primarily taught physical education for the district. Her expertise in fostering physical development, promoting exercise, healthy eating, and encouraging team building and student cohesion through physical challenges, activities, and sports and games has helped our students grow in many different ways. Her enthusiasm for encouraging a lifelong commitment to physical fitness and health has successfully developed thoughtful and health-conscious students within our district. Mrs. Christian's willingness to be a team player and help out wherever she can goes a long way. She single-handedly planned her field day last year and created a schedule where everyone was able to enjoy the day. Recently, she has helped come up with a schedule to help meet the needs of our ESC students within the K-6 building, and also uses her time to meet with students that have disabilities in her adaptive physical education class she has created. Her efforts do not go unnoticed, and her hard work is greatly appreciated. We personally want to thank Mrs. Christian for all of her hard work and dedication to our district. Congratulations on this deserving award, and thank you for being the servant leader that you are.
Section E, board work session.
Nothing.
Section F, approval of board minutes.
Mr. President, I move that the minutes of the August 15th, 2023 regular meeting be approved as written.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschel?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next, we'll move to department reports, section G.
Mr. President, it gives me great pleasure to be able to introduce to you Ms. Sherry Allen this evening. She is our Director of Food Service, and she is here to talk to us about that department this evening. Mrs. Allen, I just want to say thank you very much for taking the time to be with us this evening. We do appreciate it, and thank you for everything that you do for your department.
Madison Plains
Queens Food Service Department is off to an excellent start for the 23-24 school year. And here are some highlights I'd like to share with you this evening. And since we are in just beginning the school year, I'm going to focus a little more on last year's school year. And I wanted to talk about a couple of grants that I applied for and we received. We received a National School Lunch Equipment Grant through ODE, and we were awarded $30,028.43 to purchase a new walk-in freezer for the high school kitchen. I know Brian has talked about this in the maintenance department. The current one is outdated and breaks down frequently. Parts for the unit are hard to find, and this will be a welcome addition for our department. And installation should begin this month. We're just waiting on a few more parts to arrive. I was also awarded a grant through the American Dairy Association, and this grant was for a standalone self-serve drink refrigerator that we will have in the a la carte serving line at the high school. And this unit arrived a couple weeks ago. We are just awaiting the drink inserts that I ordered to hold the drinks in place on the shelves. Then I want to talk about our new software for our menus, which is called Healthy Pro. And beginning last school year, we implemented a new menu system called Healthy Pro. And this system allows me to create a 5-week meal rotation that follows USDA guidelines for school menus, assuring compliance with calories, fat, and sodium. It also allows parents and students to have the menu at their fingertips. They can download the app to their smartphones and view the menu each day. The user is able to click on a certain item on the menu, and that shows the nutrient content and any allergens that may be present. I'm also able to make it fun by uploading different backgrounds and headers that reflect the time of year. So right now I believe I have football, stadium, background, green and gold. We can also do a variety of reports and the daily production that is required by USDA. When it comes time for the administrative review next year, Healthy Pro will help to make sure that everything is compliant. Talk a little bit about guidelines. Sodium guidelines this year were reduced by 10% for lunch. I did not see a difference though in making the menu, which is a good thing. It just means that I was below last year as well. But they will reduce again 10% in 2025 and again in 2027, 10%. So 20% by 2027 we're looking at sodium reduction. So I may have to get a little bit more creative when this happens, and I'm working on that. I'm working on more scratch recipes for the venues. Breakfast will have two reductions. The first will be 2025 by 10%, and then again in 2027, 10%. The USDA has also proposed limits, and this is just a proposal. It has not gone into effect, but they are proposing limits to added sugars, the flavored milks, and whole grains. So we may see some changes taking place in those categories. And I would just like to take the time to thank my food service associates, also known as lunch ladies, for staying committed to the department. I am so appreciative of their hard work and dedication. They know we are here to feed the students, and they show that they are ready to do just that, and with a smile, I might add. So thank you, ladies. And thank you, everyone, for coming today. And does anyone have any questions?
Ms. Allen, just want to say thank you again for taking the time to be with us this evening. We certainly do appreciate it and appreciate your report. Certainly somewhat daunting challenges ahead with regard to food service. So We thank you for your leadership and everything that you do, and we are confident that you will navigate us through those waters. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now I'll move to Section H, Superintendent Committee Reports.
Mr. President, the only committee that has met over the, since the last board meeting is the Policy Committee. We met on Wednesday, September 6th at 5 o'clock. We discussed several policies, most of which are before the board this evening. We are looking, the one policy that was before the board last month, that the Policy Committee did discuss some, that is not before the board this evening, is the drug testing policy. We want to do a little bit more work with that before we bring that before the board again. So, but the other policies are before you, and if you have any questions, please let me know. And we, I'm sorry, and we have not scheduled our next policy meeting yet, but we will get that on the books.
All right, now we'll move to Section I, Treasurer's Report.
Thank you, Mr. Mason. A few items here before you tonight. We have the August financial statements. We are trending along favorably compared to our most recent five-year forecast. That five-year forecast, of course, will be updated for November is when our new five-year forecast will be out there. So we'll make adjustments along the way. But so far, we're in a favorable financial position. We're trending along ahead on revenues and just slightly more expenditures than what we would have forecast at this time of year last time. So things are looking good from that perspective. The next thing that I have are transfers. We have some transfers from some unused funds. These are old student class of funds. So for instance, class of 2015 that may have had a remaining balance and it wasn't transferred forward. We have those older class of funds being transferred into the building support funds at the high school to support some PBIS initiatives. And then we have the class of 2023 transferring their remaining balance to the class of 2024. So that's what we have as far as transfers. And then finally, we have our permanent appropriations. If you recall, we put on temporary appropriations to start the year, and then we, as things come up at the beginning of the year, we revise those. So the permanent appropriations are before you tonight. We did have some increases from our temporary appropriations. We started off with the general fund appropriations for our temporary appropriations of $16,081,611, and right now we are sitting at $16,438,177. That's an increase of $356,566. That's made up of items that are new items that we took on to start the year. We have science of reading literacy materials that we are ordering. The hope is that we get reimbursed for those through our state foundation funding, because that those are funds being provided by the governor. So they'll be putting out a survey about how districts are purchasing those items. And then hopefully we'll get reimbursed for that amount. So, but we still have to appropriate for them in the meantime. Some other items are our new case manager and school navigator position. That's a mental health coordination here in the district. That's a new service at an additional cost. We also have an additional aid position that we took on this year, as well as we were able to fill our unfilled guidance counselor position at the high school. So all of those are increased costs that we didn't know if we were going to have all those services when we set the temporary appropriations back in June, July. Okay. So those are the increases that we have. And then a couple other items of note. I reached out to the county auditor regarding the Big Plains solar project. Been hearing rumors, I guess you'd say, that the project is operational. So I reached out to the county auditor, and her response back was that they have not received notification from the state of Ohio. So they are required to receive a certificate of operation from the state of Ohio before they can add that to the tax bill. Once they add it to the tax bill, that starts the process of collecting the payment and then ultimately remitting those funds to the district. In her words, we can't do anything until we receive that certificate. However, she did also hear that they were operational as well. So that's all we know regarding the Big Plains Solar Project. Another item regarding our USDA funding, We were able to reach out and try to get an estimate on how long those funds would be reserved and for Madison Plains to utilize as a financial tool, as a financial mechanism to fund the bond issue. And it's roughly 12 months. So roughly from this November until next November, we would be able to have those funds reserved in Madison Plains' name. However, if things were not to materialize in the next couple attempts, they would have to look at the amount available for us and make sure that it would still fund the project. Because as you know, the longer time goes on, the more costs increase. So that's the evaluation that would have to take place between now and then. But that is all of the items that I have for you this evening, as well as the couple of extra items there that I was able to update you on.
One question on that funding. We had talked about the impact that the Build America, Buy America, mm-hmm. I might be saying that wrong, but that would have. Do we have any more clarity on how that would work?
No, just that the USDA was inquiring about when we began talking about the project and enacting the project, or discussing the project, I'll just say, because there is a grandfather period that if we had started it at a certain date, they might be able to enact waivers that would allow us to avoid any additional requirements from the BABA, the Buy America, Build America Act. So that's the only thing. I haven't heard anything additional from that, and I haven't received any revised estimates either. So.
Thank you.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the Treasurer, the Board approve financial items I-5 through I-7.
Second. Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Ms. Reinscheld?
Yes.
Sorry about the order there. Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to Section J, Superintendent's Report.
Thank you, Mr. President. And, you know, one of the things that we typically do, and I apologize I didn't get this done here this evening, but after we do our employee and student recognition, we tell those folks that they are welcome to leave. So if you would like to head out, you are welcome to. We will not be offended. But if you would like to go, you can. Okay. Just I want to follow up a little bit on the bus issue that we had a week ago this past Thursday. We've had several meetings amongst the administrative team and with law enforcement to discuss the situation that occurred and what the learning opportunities are there. We are reviewing protocols and procedures, and we are reaching out to experts and leaders in the field to find out what they would recommend. We are looking into what best practices are, and we will be updating our protocols and procedures, and then we will be providing training to our staff on these updated protocols and procedures. Okay. The next item that I have for the superintendent's report this evening is with regard to the Ohio Career Technical Education waiver for middle grades. For most of my time here, up until last year actually, the district, in line with many other districts, the district had to pass a waiver that was allowed by the state because we were not offering career and technical education to our middle school students, our 7th and 8th graders. Well, last year, for the first time, because of our partnership with TOLS and because of the satellite programming that we have allowed them to bring in, we did not have to pass a waiver. And this year, I'm happy to report that we do not have to pass a waiver again. So very pleased about that, very glad to be able to offer those career and technical education offerings to our 7th and 8th grade students. It's something that I do think is important, and we are grateful to TOLS for the fact that they are willing to partner with us on that. I mentioned it here in September because annually when school districts would do this, that waiver had to be submitted to the state by September 30th. So I just wanted the board to know that that is something that we don't have to do again this year because of that partnership with TOLS. Another thing that comes up annually in September is our Business Advisory Council annual report. Each year, school districts in Ohio are required to submit an annual report to ODE regarding their work with their local business advisory council, or BAC. One way that this is accomplished is through the Educational Service Center that serves a school. That Educational Service Center can work to submit that for districts. And so here in Madison County, like many other counties, our ESC has gotten all of us together, all of the districts in the county together, and we have a combined business advisory council. And that business advisory council helps to inform the school districts of what the businesses need. It also allows us to talk to the businesses about what would help us to be able to better prepare our students to go out into the workforce. So there's a dialogue that is able to occur there. And so this annual report this year, as it has been throughout my tenure, is going to be submitted to the state by the Educational Service Center for us. So once I get that report, I will send that to you. I will go in and sign off on the report from Madison Plains. But I wanted to let you know that that is something that is happening. I expect that I will have the report before the end of the month, and once I get that, I will work to pass that along to the board. Mr. Mustine mentioned the bond issue. I just want to mention that as well and provide just a little bit of information. We do have a bond issue on the ballot on Tuesday, November 7th, 2023, and the purpose of that bond issue is to fund new schools on the campus of MPLSD. The total project cost is $68.6 million. The Ohio Facilities Construction Commission is contributing 9% of the co-funded amount, which would equate to $5.5 million. The district has committed to $7.6 million should the issue pass. And so, as Mr. Mustine has mentioned this evening, and as we've talked about in previous board meetings, we have secured financing through the United States Department of Agriculture for a bond issue at 3.625%. That is better than the 5% rate we were being quoted from the municipal market. So this is an opportunity that we felt was beneficial for the school district to pursue. The original millage last spring was 9.9 mils. With the USDA financing, it has brought the millage ask down to 8.6, and then with the district contributed amount, that brought down our millage to 7.5 mils. And so just wanted to mention that. That is what will be on the ballot on November 7th, and just wanted to mention that for those who may be watching at home.
Mr. Isley, can I add one more
Sure.
item here that I just remembered? This transpired just here recently. We were required to have an additional study done on the intermediate school due to its age to determine if it had historical significance with the state of Ohio Office of Historical Preservation. So we had a third-party company come in and do an assessment. They do a thorough report, and then they submit their findings to the Office of Historical Preservation for them to review. And the results of those findings were that they did not deem that to be of any historical value, that it has retained some of its integrity, but it is of no historical value to them. So that's an update probably should update you with. That report's been submitted. And then I feel like there was one other thing I was going to update you about. But that may be it there. Just the Historical Preservation Office has received that report. So.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. President, the last item that I have under discussion items for my superintendent's report this evening is just to let the board know that the Ohio School Boards Association Capitol Conference is going to be November 12th through the 14th at the Greater Columbus Convention Center. It is one of the largest trade shows in the country for education. There are many sessions and valuable topics that help to enhance the work of school districts. If any of the board members would be interested in attending that, please let Mr. Mustine and I know. It is a worthwhile endeavor, so we are looking forward to that. But I want to let the board know that that is coming up in November.
Just a question while we're in here. Are we still on track to get this auditorium updated or remodeled?
We are. That work is underway. We have placed an order for the seats. And so we are hoping that that project will be able to be, the seat portion of it will be able to be completed, hopefully, over Thanksgiving break. If not then, we have told the company that we really, if not then, we would prefer it done then. But if not then, then we have told the company that we would really like to have it done over winter break. Okay. So, and then there will be some work done with the lights and the painting, and there will be some painting done as well. But the seats are a big part of that. But yes.
Thank you for the update. So now we'll move to Section K, Policy and Governance.
Mr. President, just a few policy and governance items for you this evening. We had policy, and forgive me, I need to turn my page here. We had policy EBC before the board last month, and then this month for a first reading, we have three other policies that are before the board.
Mr. President, I make the recommendation that upon the superintendent's recommendation, the board approve policy and governance items K2 through K3.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zanika?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Next, we'll move to Section L, Business.
Mr. President and members of the board, just a few relatively routine items before the board this evening, most of which are field trips that are annual field trips that we take. So one additional item of some school psychologist support via purchase service agreement.
Mr. President, I make the motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve business items L2 through L5.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call, please.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
Now move to Section N, Personnel.
Mr. President, we have some relatively routine items, although some of them are a little bit out of what would be normal timing. But we have resignation for a supplemental there. We have some other supplementals that we are asking the board to approve. We have resignation of an English teacher that we had hired. And then we have a bus driver who we had hired, who had started training, decided it was not for her. And then we have a long-term substitute there that we're asking the board to approve as well.
Mr. President, I move that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approves personnel items M2 through M6.
Second. Discussion. Just real quick, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but how are we doing bus driver-wise?
We're doing okay. We have enough drivers to drive the routes that we have right now. If somebody is absent, then our transportation supervisor or our mechanic drive the route. But we need more. We just posted, just the other day, we posted for more bus drivers and substitute bus drivers. So it remains a need. I have said it before, there is a national shortage. It is a difficult job, and we need good people to do it. So if there's anyone listening who is interested, please reach out to us. We'd be happy to give you a try.
All right. Roll call, please.
Mr. Stonerock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mrs. Zanikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
To Section N, donations.
Mr. President, no donations for the evening.
Section O, new business.
To the best of my knowledge, sir, there is no new business.
So move to Section P, the second public communication. If you signed up, you're welcome to come to the podium.
Yeah, I believe so.
Have I spoken with you about speaking with us about a child of yours? Have we spoken?
No, sir, you haven't spoken to me.
Or via email, even? I'm just trying to clarify. If If it was something that we need to talk about in executive session, I apologize.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, you spoke to my daughter, not to me. No, sir.
Okay. It's your choice. You have every right to, especially because it's talking about an individual student. We'd be glad to talk to you in the executive session. Doesn't have to be done in public square. We meet privately. That's your guys' choice, how you'd like to handle that.
I would rather the whole board hear it.
Well, it'll be the entire board, but just the entire board and not the public.
Okay.
It'll be in the library.
No, that's go public. Go public.
Really?
Go public.
Okay, no. Daughter says go public, sir.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yep.
All right, again, good evening. Thank you, board members, for allowing me to speak tonight on a very important matter to me and my family. My name is Christine Neville, and I'm the grandmother of one of your students, Hannah Adams. Hannah is a legally disabled child that your school district is receiving state and or federal funding for and is not being allowed to have the education that she deserves. Just briefly, I want to touch on the Americans with Disability Act. Under the Department of Justice, Office of Civil Rights, OCR, they enforce basically five civil rights laws that prohibit discrimination. The one that I want to concentrate on tonight is discrimination on the basis of disability is prohibited by Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973 and Title II of the Americans with Disability Act of 1990. Title II actually prohibits discrimination on the basis of disability by public entities, whether or not they receive federal financial assistance. Hannah has been sick since birth. To date, she has over 30 different diagnoses, from different types of chromosome disorders to autism, to failure to thrive with feeding issues, to feeding tube and seizures. I won't bore you with the tremendous details that this poor child has had to overcome in the past 14 years of her life, but I would rather concentrate on the past 12 months or so that she has been a part of your school district. And deal with the most important diagnoses of autism, failure to thrive with feeding issues, and her seizures. In May of 2023, Hannah had to be pulled from your school because her health had deteriorated to the point that her body and her organs had begun to shut down, and she was placed in palliative care. The 2022-23 school year started out, she was approximately 68 pounds. And by May, she was under 66. That is less than the 1 percentile for her age group. in May of 2023, our family also took it upon ourselves to hire a home health care nurse for her. With Hannah's autism, there were some struggles, to be perfectly honest, because as you know, a child with autism sometimes does not do very well with change, and that is to the T, Hannah. She doesn't do well with change at all. But with this nurse that is licensed, background checked, drug tested, and fingerprinted, with the communication that this nurse has given us and our family, I am happy to say that Hannah is on the road to recovery. As of last Thursday, she was up to 78 pounds. Now, while that is still under the CDC, underweight for the CDC, because her average weight should be roughly about 108 for a child of her age. Sorry about that. I want to move on to Hannah's seizures. Hannah's seizures are not the typical seizures that you see with somebody who might be convulsing. Hannah starts her seizures off by staring off into space. Sometimes it's very unnoticeable. Most of the time it's very unnoticeable. And most of the time adults just think she's not paying attention to them when she actually is starting to have a seizure. If Hannah is not brought out of one of her seizures within 5 minutes, she needs to have her life-saving medication administered. That can only be done by someone licensed and registered, as it is a narcotic. Your school response is to deny that child the right to have her medically licensed nurse that we do have a medical necessity letter from a doctor. and opt to train your own staff to care for her medical needs. I don't think that's fair to your staff, number one, and I don't think it's fair to Hannah, number two. Here are some of the problems with that. Number one, your staff is not trained to deal with Hannah's feeding tube or seizures, and it would take them more time, so more time of Hannah not being able to attend your school with her licensed nurse. So more time for her not to be in your school. The school nurse had admitted that she has experience, but was uncomfortable trying to reinsert Hannah's feeding tube if it were to become dislodged. Her nurse is already experienced on doing that. She knows what to do, she knows how to do it, she knows when to do it. If Hannah's tube is to come out and she does not get another one inserted within a certain amount of time, Hannah will have to go through yet another major medical surgery and miss more school. I should mention that one of her medical diagnoses is medical PTSD because of all of the health issues that she has had all her life. So your decision to not allow her nurse to come to school with her could possibly, very possibly, put her into more medical PTSD. Again, I don't think that's fair for Hannah. During a conversation with one of your board members, it was stated that having Hannah's one-on-one nurse with her in school would violate the rights of the other students. Let me try to paint just a brief picture for you. And again, I go back to, we have 5 minutes to administer her seizure medication, correct? If you have a student that, or a teacher that's teaching a class and he's up on the board and he's writing out a problem and he's talking to the class while he's doing that, and I say he, I apologize, he's DJ's teacher, say a minute and a half. He turns around and he starts talking to the class, or they start talking to the class, another 30 seconds. In that time, he's scanning over the classroom, again, talking to the classroom, roughly another 30 seconds. We put a half a finger up. Then he realizes that Hannah's having a seizure. He goes over and tries to attempt to get Hannah out of her seizure, to talk her out of it. There's another 30 seconds. Then he has to take the time to go call the school nurse, who admittedly said that she could be in another building across a football field. Let's estimate another 2 minutes for that teacher to, or for that nurse to get to the school that Hannah is in, get to her locked cabinet, because what she has for her medication is a narcotic, get to Hannah's class, and then try to administer. Ladies and gentlemen, we are already over 5 minutes for Hannah having a seizure. When in fact, if she was able to have her home health care nurse there with her, she is she is experienced in trying to talk Hannah out of her seizure, trying to talk her down from it. If she is unable to do that, she knows that within 3 to 3.5 minutes, she needs to get that medication and start administering it. Number one, she can take Hannah out of the classroom, not disrupting your class or your teacher, educating the other students that need it and deserve it. and the other students, real quick, they have a right to an education as well. And I don't feel that having a nurse in a classroom, especially if there was a brief explanation, or brief maybe Q&A of, hey, this is Hannah, this is her nurse, this is why she's here, Hannah has some medical issues, but we're not gonna let that disrupt our class. I think most children will go, okay, cool. So if Hannah does have an issue, the nurse is able to just take her out of the classroom, away from the situation, not disturb your class, and tend to Hannah's medical needs. And while under the Individuals with Disability Education Act, schools are not required to provide medical services except for diagnostic and evaluation purposes, schools are responsible for providing services that are necessary to maintain the health and safety of children at school. A school's obligation to provide nursing services may include full-time one-on-one nursing services. That is necessity, or that is what is necessary to provide a child with a free and a public education that they have a right to. The Ohio Department of Education stated, might be a little outdated, that on average it cost $7,351.71 per pupil for special education services. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is why we are here today. Our family believes our belief is that you are putting profits over these students. Maximum Home Health Care reached out to your Director of Special Education on August 15th. I have a copy of the email. Trying to get a jump start on updating Hannah's IEP in 504. We've heard nothing. Nothing. We did have a 504 IEP meeting. Again, nothing was resolved other than the fact that we were told, nope, not going to allow the nurse. We're going to train our staff to handle Hannah's needs. It's unacceptable. And I truly hope that you will reconsider your decision. Our nurse has said she is more than willing to take your background check, even though she already has one, your drug testing, even though she already has one, your fingerprinting, whatever you need for her to allow to be there with Hannah, who is such a remarkable child, is missing school and her friends so much. I just wish you would reconsider your decision to allow her nurse to be here with her during school hours for her safety. Thank you.
Next, we'll move to Section Q, Executive Session. We did have one plan. Do we still need executive session? Or?
That's pretty much it. This child has missed 3 weeks of school. Her first year of high school that won't ever get back. All because funding comes before a child. And she's being denied a nurse that she medically needs and has been medically documented. And medical documents have been sent to the school saying that she requires this nurse medically to be with her 24 hours.
All right, so we do not have anything for executive session. So now we'll move to Section R, the closing. The next regular scheduled board meeting for the Madison Plains Board of Education is October 17th at 7 p.m. here in the district auditorium.
Mr. President?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I do not want to speak out of turn, sir, but I'm wondering if maybe the seven of us ought to have an executive session.
That's fine.
Yeah, for item number 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I move that we enter to executive session at
7:49.
At 7:49. For the purpose of the following items allowed under Ohio Revised Code 121.22G, Section 5, matters required to be confidential by federal law, rules, or state statute.
Second. Section 2 also?
Section 3.
3?
In Section 3, conferences with an attorney. Okay.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Ms. Reinschild?
Yes.
Mr. Stone Rock?
Yes.
Mr. Yensel?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0. We're in executive session.
No action will be taken after executive session. And our next regularly scheduled meeting will be October 17th at 7 p.m. here in the district, or in the high school auditorium. Thank you.